We are straight up at 8 o'clock, a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. Welcome to the program. Delighted to have you here. So, after years of helping other alcohol and spirit brands take off in more than 15 different countries, and this in a span of less than 2 years, mind you, Nicole Johnson decided to create a lane for herself in this industry dominated by white men. And taking that leap of faith, she's now the founder of, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, La Pain Rouille Champagne. It's the first, thank you, the first black-owned champagne brand that's sold in the United Kingdom. But it's not just about champagne. It's a lot of entities under this Rusty Rabbit International umbrella. Joining us for the conversation this morning to talk about her heroic and meteoric climb, battling against the odds, Nicole Johnson. Welcome to the program this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Delighted to have you with us this morning. Thank you for coming in. I want to just kick it off by saying 15 different countries that brands took off in less than 2 years. Tell me about that.
So it's a little bit more stringent than that, obviously. I have been doing this since 2008. I started in operations and logistics. And as I moved around into the various industries, it just kind of meshed itself in there. And when you're talking about the different entities, that's how it's all come together. There's Rusty Rabbit International, which is our business development. There's Rusty Rabbit Spirits, which is our import, export, and distribution. There's Rusty Rabbit Makes, which is our production, promotional marketing, manufacturing. And then there's Rusty Rabbit Drinks, which is what La Pain Rouille sits under. And that's where we manufacture our own drink brands. But typically, or basically what happened was we had a specific distillery reach out, wanted us to help them build their gift shop, do all of their promotional marketing and things to that nature. And so we had a brand from the U.S. was like, hey, we would like to come into the international market. You're there. Can you help us? And because it had such a great story, a great brand behind them, great people behind them, it helped launch that. But that was me on a flight every 2 to 3 days, going to these different countries, different cities, different everything, setting up distribution points, setting up warehousing, the whole shebang. And so, yes, within under 3 years, we're now represented in, I have access to sell into 142 countries, and we have spirits in 15 countries.
That is just, that's amazing. It's mind-boggling. It really is that each of these entities, you have your hands fully involved in each of these.
100%.
My goodness. Yeah. So yes. Congratulations there.
Thank you.
And you don't look the least bit tired. You look refreshed this morning.
I slept this weekend. See me on Wednesday.
Specifically about the champagne itself, and you brought in, first of all, the bottles could not be more lovely, first of all, and designed beautifully. I love the logo. I love the coloring. I love everything about what you've done to market, I guess, eventually.
Yes.
That magnificent brand. But the champagne itself is made from Pinot Meunier grapes?
Pinot Meunier grapes.
Pinot Meunier 100%. Grapes.
100%.
And that's from the, tell me if I'm wrong here, Massy de Saint-Thierry.
Correct.
Woo!
Look at you. Okay.
Tell us about the champagne itself.
So the champagne comes from the Boudère family. They're a beautiful and wonderful family out of Saint-Thierry, France. And we have known them for quite some time. Because of COVID, obviously, there weren't any more weddings. There's no graduations, right. All the things that you would normally have with champagne. So they just kind of reached out to us and was like, hey, we're trying to make some pivots. We're trying to keep our business afloat. This is the first time in over 200 years that we don't have, you know, the access that we've had. We can't sell in the groceries. We can't sell bulk. May you help us? And so we were having a similar issue on our side of people kept saying, well, what do you do?
Right.
And I would say, we do import, export, distribution. We do business development. And they were like, yeah, but what does that mean? And I was like, okay, how can I really make this comprehensive for people to understand? So I called them back and I said, I've got an idea. And that's how the champagne came about. It was really just, I wanted to support our great friends that we have. I mean, we have amazing relationships with distilleries, wineries, vineyards all over the world. But for this one in particular, we've worked with before. I've been there. We've helped with the harvest. And there was like certain things that I was asking for, because restaurants come in, they look for me and they're like, hey, this is what we're looking for. Can you help us private label, or can you help us create our own? And so there was different taste profiles that we knew were essential in the market.
Right.
And so I went to them and I said, hey, there's a certain taste profile that I like. I don't like sweet champagne. I don't want, you know, the Moscatos and anything like that. I want a specific flavor. And I said, I like dry and crisp and with a little bit of citrus to it. And they said, okay. And so he said, the best grape is to use the 100% Pinot Meunier. We're not going to mix it with Chardonnay or anything else. Right. This is what it's going to be. And I said, okay, let's do it. And so that's how Le Panrier has come about.
So how many tastes were there before they got it right?
Oh,
because I imagine there had to be a lot of formulas.
There was a lot of tasting. And the thing is, we weren't even just tasting from there. We're tasting from all over the world. Right. So what a lot of people also don't know is, you know, some of your larger brands, they don't just use that specific grape from there. It is manufactured there. It is distilled there. It is crafted there. However, you're probably pulling grapes from all over the world. So we were looking at the different distilleries, the different wineries, the different vineyards, and we were like, okay, we had Italy, we had Australia, South Africa, even Napa, and it was something about that. And I said, that's it. And so I think we went through 3 months of tasting.
Okay.
And then I finally, and he was like, is this it, Nicole? I said, this is it. So once we had the juice, then the packaging was easy. Everything on that bottle has a specific connotation to it, the colors. The whole company is named after my Nana. That was her term of endearment. If she really loved you and liked you, right, you were her rusty rabbit. She passed away in 2017, so this was my way of paying homage to her. So also when you open the top on our corkage is a picture of her. So everything was just based around that and having 100% excellence and clarity in the market.
That is a magnificent homage to your grandmother.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So I had mentioned in the introduction that you really created an entire lane for yourself, yeah, in this industry that's dominated mostly by white men. So how many doors were first slammed in your face? And what is that like for a woman of color to break into this industry?
Doors have always been slammed in my face. But my parents, I take a lot from my parents and my grandparents. Both of my parents were with Anheuser-Busch. My dad was the plant manager. My mom was the director of procurement. So I've watched how they've navigated. And of course, I told them 100% I'll never be in spirits, right?
Right?
I'm doing something else. You guys have that. But what happened was, as I was knocking on these doors, it was more so of, oh, you're cute, and oh, you're nice, you got a great smile, and well, why don't you just be the brand ambassador? You can go be the taster. And I was like, I don't do tasting. I build brands. I help them. And at first it was very derogatory, but it's all about how you respond to it. So I'm one of those type of people that I can show you better than I can tell you. So that's fine. You can slam that door, but I'm going to find a way around it. And that's just essentially what I've done. And, you know, a firm yes and a firm no goes a long way. And I was explaining to someone the other day, in the Me Too movement and Black Lives Matter movement, all of that, you can put yourself in these boxes or you can move through them. So I've always just been one of those people that I'm just going to move through it. And it's also about how you respond to it. So I respond to most things with a smile and a, oh, that's nice. And just, you know, keep it moving. Now, will I ever do business with you? Maybe not. Is that something? But I always also like to make sure that there's never a door or a bridge burn, because you're going to have to go back over it. You're going to have to go back through it. But that's just kind of how I've navigated it.
Okay. And aside from that, from the glass ceiling of being a female in Great Britain, in particular, being a woman of color, what is that racism that you feel sometimes?
In Great Britain, it's sometimes put as racism, but it's more so classism. It's more so of a class. Now, obviously, it's also culture, because I'm American. So sometimes you walk into a room and it's, oh, that American, or. And then sometimes it is, oh, yeah, it's that black girl. And I'm like, well, I'm not a girl. I'm a 37-year-old woman. So, you know, it's that. But it's, again, it's just about how you react to it. Fortunately, I always come bearing booze, so that helps with
anything.
Greases
the wheel a little bit.
Yeah. I have cigars, I have booze, you know. I have some tastings. You know, that kind of just breaks the water. And when you have good, really great spirits and quality spirits, you can go from there. But it's been challenging, you know. It took me over three years to buy the building that I wanted, you know, where our offices are located and things of that nature. Right. And it was just kind of like, well, we don't understand your business. And, well, you know, is there, and then there's the question of, well, is there a man that backs you, or, you know, is there someone else? And I'm sitting there like, no, it's me. These are all my ideas. What do you mean? So it's been a lot of that. But again, it's just about how you navigate.
So as insulting as it is you navigating through that insult.
Obviously.
Really.
Yeah. So, I mean, because I can go in the corner and cry about it, or, you know, call home and say mom and dad. But that's not going to get me what I want. Our goal for Rusty Rabbit is to have and represent one spirit from every state and country, and moving them internationally and domestically. I can't do that if I'm, you know, in shambles.
Right,
so, you know, as my grandmother says, suck it up, buttercup, and keep it moving.
Love grandma. I'm already digging grandma here. So when you realize that you could be a shining example of success to a 12 or a 13-year-old girl in either Manchester over there or Atlanta over here, did your mission take on a bigger meaning? Did it take on a more focused goal?
It did, because I've never been in the forefront. I always, like, again, I'm never in this seat. I put my clients here. I'm talking about their brands, things of that nature. And so Black Enterprise wrote an article about me. That surprised me. I happened to get, my friend sent me the link. It was like, did you know you're Black Enterprise? I was like, no, why? You know, why is anyone talking about me? And so when I read how they wrote it, I was just like, oh. And it was a whole 360 for me, or just a turning event, because I've read Black Enterprise since I was a kid.
Right.
And I always used to say, oh, it would be so cool to be in there. Now I'm in here, and then I'm like, oh, okay, there's a little girl, as you said, and a little boy, and a little Black boy, or boy of color, whatever it may be, saying, oh, I want to be that one day. And then, because we're in alcohol and spirits, you never really hear that talked about. You hear tech, you hear finance, you hear real estate, but you don't really hear about spirits as well as, like, the actual building of them. So it's just letting people know, because I never heard that. You know, my whole thing was be a doctor, a lawyer, or an athlete, right? So now I'm like, no, you could do business development. You can do ops and logistics. That's a whole industry, you know, shipping, the whole shebang. So it's great to have that. And that's now been my mission, of putting that information out there of, you know, you can be into shipping. You can be into these realms. There are other facets and other categories of jobs that you can be into, and careers that are outside of this spectrum. And this is where you go to get the education for it and all of that.
Right. So having parents that worked for Anheuser-Busch as a child, did that give you some sense of directional focus?
No, my mom will tell you I wanted to be a trauma surgeon. I wanted to be a veterinarian. I think I wanted to be a lawyer. So when I went to college, I went to Florida A&M University, Hail the Rattlers, in Tallahassee, Florida. And when I got there, I went there to pursue international business and law. Now, I, of course, kept the international business, and that's what my degrees are in and things of that nature. But then when it came to law, I was like, I don't actually like arguing, and I don't like conflict, so this might not be for me. But yes, that's definitely just changed over time.
And knowing law, you certainly can't be taken advantage of.
Oh, absolutely not.
So let's say I own a restaurant or a chain of restaurants, and I want my own champagne. I want my own taste. And I like yours. Can I also do this with whiskeys and vodkas and tequilas?
Absolutely. So we have worked with several brands to launch their own, to source their own. So we can do it from any realm and any starting point. So we can start you from ground up, and say you want to build your own distillery, your own cannery, your own whatever that may be.
Right.
Or say, okay, we want to build our own brand, but we need to start out with sourcing. And sourcing just means that you go to other distilleries that white label, or other vineyards that white label and things like that, put it together, and then you start crafting it around a brand. at the same time that you're doing that, you're selling it and people are loving it and you're bringing in your profits and things of that nature. Well, now you can build your vineyards or you can build your distilleries or you can build your breweries. So we can do both sides of that. We also like to let people know that this isn't a fly by night. So this isn't like I woke up the next morning. Well, I don't count, but this is like you woke up the next morning and you had a brand and it was in the market. Right. It is a long process, you know, from your names to your trademarks to everything of having that all ready to go and to go into the market. But yes, we can do both sides of it.
That's fantastic. And what's next for you? What do the next 3 years look like for you?
So we have teamed up with a company in Leeds. We will be switching into also having our own lounge per se. So the gentlemen there are well known in the UK for their crafting, their spirits, their mixology, just the whole embracing of what they do with brands. So we're going to be folding them into Rusty Rabbit. We have some RTDs that are coming in 2022. Our rosé will be launched April 21st of 2022. We have a vintage, a 2008 vintage that's coming. And we're currently working with an amazing glass company. And so we're either that's going to launch in December of this year or December of next year. And then we just have the business. When COVID happened, obviously, for us, liquor sales stopped.
Right.
You know, so unless you're on major e-commerces and things like that, it wasn't happening. So as my friends say, I'm the queen of the pivot. So I just pivoted right into one of our other industries. So that was Rusty Rabbit International, Rusty Rabbit Makes. Right. A lot of people were home, so a lot of people wanted some packaging and boxes and ready-to-goes. And so that kept us alive, honestly, for the last 18 months. And then we've helped build some other companies. There is a company here in California called Spiceac. It's ran by Chef Doss. We helped him launch that. It's available everywhere. So he has his own brand of seasonings. Again, people were home and they needed help, right? So he put together these really easy to make, which can go on any of your quick dishes. So just some of those things that we've worked with and done.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So how do our listeners or restaurant owners in town, or how do we find you?
They can go to rustyrabbitintl.com or they can go to lapinrouille.com and just fill out our contact forms and we'll easily get back.
It's really not just about the champagne. It's about the entities under Rusty Rabbit International's umbrella.
Yeah.
And we very much thank you for being with us this morning. Nicole Johnson, thank you for this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was a blast having you. I look forward to having you back.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, let's do it. 8:20, Mornings with Ed.